Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my special guest, Minister Harold Copeland, and we are in studio today to continue in this beautiful teaching series, The Ingredients of Agape Love. And I love the way that sounds, the ingredients of agape love. And we're on part five of this wonderful teaching series. And, you know, agape love is simply defined as unconditional love, the main character of God. And Brother Harold and I have been bringing you through the scriptures that introduce us, that walk us through, that carries us along concerning the main character of God, and that is His agape love. And we just encourage you to continue to walk with us as we move along the scriptures in expressing and exposing the Word of God in all of its tenderness. But most of all, showing you the beautiful intricacies of God's wonderful love that He has for both you and I. So we're going to continue in our message, in our teaching series. And Brother Harold, if you would just introduce yourself as you beautifully do, and we will move right on into this teaching series in part five of The Ingredients of Agape Love. So, Brother Harold.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland. And with my great host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are in studio and we will be teaching this great subject. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. We want you to know that we love you, but most importantly, as you can tell by the teaching, God loves you more, and He loves you with an everlasting love. And there just is nothing we can do to stop Him. I always like to let you know that it's an honor, a privilege, a great opportunity to be able to fellowship with you and break bread concerning the goodness and the greatness of our God. As was said earlier, we're still on our series, The Ingredients of the Agape Love, also known as the unconditional love of God, the kingdom love of God, and God kind of love. And we're just going to sit back and let God love on us, because that's His will, to love on His children. So we're going to dive right on into the teaching. And as always, we're going to start out by reading our launch scripture, which comes out of the book of John. Chapter 3, very familiar passage of the scripture. John chapter 3, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Hallelujah. Now, we started the series, The Ingredients of the Agape Love. We started the series describing releasing the ingredients, emphasizing that God loves us in spite of us. Unconditionally. He loves us regardless of our actions. Because God's love for us is based on the works of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus finished the work, He earned the love of God. Not for Himself, but He done the work and gave us the credit and put us in the position that we can go boldly into the presence of God by His precious shed blood. And we can open our hearts no matter what's going on in our lives. And God will begin to pour Himself out upon us. And we read in 1 John that it's not God have love, or God can go get love, or God can manifest love. So God is love. God is the agape, the very essence of His being is unconditional love. And His will every day, 24 hours a day, is to pour and release His love in the hearts and the minds and the soul of His children. Hallelujah. And in the last session, the last teaching, we went to one of my greatest teaching skills that we use in the school system called modeling. And we began to use the gospel and to allow Jesus to model what the agape looks like, what it looks like, to model it out for us. And if you missed that teaching, go to the website, go to the website and listen to it. In the scriptures we use to show modeling by our Lord and Savior in the lives of people. And I need to let you know that when our Master was modeling, He wasn't modeling in the presence of saved people. He was modeling in the presence of sinners, known sinners. He pointed to their sin, they acknowledged their sin, and He moved on. We talked about 1 Peter 4 and 8, we talked about that's the job of the agape. That's the job. That's what the agape was made for, to cover sins. And we talked about Peter said, love covers a multitude. And that great word, multitude. And I always wondered, what does multitudes mean? And a man of God told me, multitudes mean too many to count. There's so many, we can't even count them, so it's a multitude. So love covers too many to count sins. Not one, two, three, or how we can count. But when we stop counting and lose numbers, love still covers and covers and covers and covers and covers. And we went to John 4 and verses 3 to 28, how Jesus modeled the agape love to the woman at the well. And then we went to John 7. Verse 53 to chapter 8, 11, and showed how Jesus modeled agape love to the woman that was caught in adultery. And we went to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13, to show how Jesus modeled agape love in the presence of the taxpayer Matthew, and in Luke 9, chapter 19, verse 1 through 10, he found another taxpayer named Zacharias, and Jesus modeled the upper present also. And then we went to one of the greatest parables in the gospel, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 23, the prodigal son. And we showed how the father of the prodigal son modeled God the Father, walking in the agape, the unconditional love of God. But then we also show how the son represent us, rebellious sometimes. But at the end, the son was able to receive because the father modeled out the agape in his presence. And I thank God today that he's continually modeling out the agape in our presence, because he loves us with the everlasting love. Now, we're going to take a moment, because while I was doing this research, I found a testimony. And I read the testimony, and it was so beautiful. The agape love. It was so beautiful. I had to read it over and over and over and over again. And I began to think, model. This was a man, a human being just like us, but God used him to model the agape love in the presence of families. And it was so beautiful that we're going to start out by reading that testimony. First, I need to tell you just a little bit, something a little bit about the man himself. He was a sinner. That's not familiar. To me, it does, because that's where I started out, as a sinner. He was a sinner, and God began to call him into the house of the Lord. And he began to go to church. And the pastor noticed him and knew there was something special about his life. So the pastor began to befriend him. Now, when the man came into the church, he had some problems. Just like me, that sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. And his problem began to get worse, even to the point where he thought he was losing his mind. So what he did is he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him some mental medication, and the man began to take the medication, and he got addicted to the medication. So the pastor get involved and began to disciple the man one-on-one with the Word of God on a daily basis. But his situation kept getting worse, even to the point where the man became suicidal. And his suicidal thoughts was very, very real. You know, now we must talk about tough love, because that's the pastor's next move. The pastor agreed with his wife to rent a house. Let's rent a house and put him in the house. So they rented a house. The pastor picked the man up, took the man to the house, walked in the house with him, set the man down, and said, "I'm leaving, and I'll be back in 3 days." And the pastor told him, "You choose what you're going to do. If you're going to commit suicide, commit suicide. But you got your Bible. If you're going to renew your mind with the Word, then renew your mind with the Word of God. I'm leaving, and I'll be back in 3 days." Make a long story short, the pastor came back in 3 days, And that man was a totally different man. He was on fire for Jesus Christ. And that was 50 years ago, and his fire has not burnt out yet. And we're going to walk through his testimony. This is his testimony. One day I wanted to go and pray as I usually did after work. I was in a park, and I said, God, I really want to minister to somebody. It was a fairly warm day, and I saw a little boy and a little girl sitting on the swing. There was a swing open, so I went over and got into the swing. I turned to the little girl and said, it's a nice day, isn't it? And she said, me no speak English. And I asked, where are you from? She said, she was from Romania. I knew there were some Romanians in that area, and I saw these people looking at me, probably wondering why I was talking to their children. I went over and said, I want to help you. They said, you would want to help us? Why would you want to help us? You don't even know us. I said, because God wants to help you. I have been meditating on the principles of love in 1 John chapter number 3, verse 18, where it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We're not to love with the words of our mouth only, but also with our action. Although I usually don't carry money around with me, that day I had a little money in my pocket. I reached out, said, this is for you, and gave them the money. I had a little bit of food with me, so I said, and here's some food for your family. They were touched and said, who are you? I told them, God has made a divine appointment, and I am going to see you again. I went home and told my wife about the encounter with those Romanians. I took a roast out of our freezer and cooked it. The next day I bought a box full of dishes at a garage sale and went back to the park with my wife. The Romanians and the children were there, and I said, I bring gifts to you. They're heavy, so I'm going to get in my car, and if you show me where you live, I'll take the gifts to your home. When we got to their little one-bedroom apartment, I took the dishes and silverware and everything matched out of the box and began to give things to them, one at a time. As I handed it to them, tears began to roll down their face. And the lady said, me going to cry, me going to cry. And I said, on Monday nights we have a Bible study at our home, and I would like to invite you there. And they said, we want to come. But I said, I don't want you to come because I gave you gifts. They said, no, we want to come and meet your friend. Since they didn't have transportation, I picked them up and took them to my home. And before long, God began to touch them. They couldn't speak English very well, but he touched them when we prayed for them. The love of God was being manifested to them. Before long, we met another Romanian couple. And I said to the first couple, will you go and help me meet another Romanian couple? They agreed. And I got a call one day from that couple. We heard about you. We have the loneliness bad, and we want to meet you. So I took my first Romanian friends, and we went to meet them. I took gifts, food, and all kinds of things to them. As I did that and began to visit with them, everything was great until one of the first Romanian couples said, you need to go to their Bible study. They talk about Jesus, and it's wonderful. But the second couple say, wait a minute. We came from a communist country and don't know if there's a God. We don't want this Jesus stuff. I said, let me be your friend anyhow. and began to take them out on the weekend and buy them clothes, coats, and things they needed. They were very embarrassed and reluctant. I said, well, don't you need a coat? They said, well, yes, I do, but well, let me get you this coat for you. I began to love them in action. But they wouldn't come to our Bible study until I said, there are probably some Americans there who will help you get a job. Then they came right away. At the Bible study that night, I said something very foolish to the Lord. I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me a genuine gift of tongues tonight because we can't even communicate with each other very well. There were some other Americans at the Bible study that night, and they gave their testimonies. When I began to speak, the lady from the second Romanian couple began to line it up, and I knew something was happening. After the study, I said, let me pray for you. And we prayed. God suddenly touched them and filled the whole atmosphere of the room with his love. Then the lady said, you know, when the other Americans were speaking and giving their testimonies, I could not understand a word they were saying. But when you got up and started speaking about Jesus, his love for us, and what he did so we could have a relationship with him, I understood every word you said. I understood it perfectly. This must be God. It must be God. As a result, all of our lives were changed, not just the Romanians. And that second Romanian couple got saved also. My home began to be filled on Monday nights with international people, Romanian, Bulgarians, and people from Russia. God was changing their lives, releasing his love upon lives. And they knew we loved them too. We even had people from Africa. But we could hardly speak to each other. One thing they knew, when we prayed, God would manifest his love and touch them with his love. And they also knew that we would do anything for them. And they also knew that we loved them. God changed their lives and the lives of many other people. It happened because one day in a park, I saw some people of another color, another nationality. I didn't have any warm feeling of infection, but I knew that love was this. Whatever you would want someone to do to you, do to them. I sought their welfare and benefit regardless of the way I felt. And you know what happened? They so appreciated it that we rose up and with the phileo love, I began to feel love for them and they began to feel love for me. I love you. And we hugged each other, and we kissed each other. What it did in me was generate the kind of feeling for the agape love. If you want to have a love that has feeling in your life, just practice unconditional love there. Agape love of God, the God kind of love. Seek the welfare and benefit of others regardless of how you feel. And this would generate a love that brings healers and brings people into the house of the Lord. And Father, we thank you for that great testimony of your agape love working in the lives of your servants. And Lord, we pray that we can be those servants that you can use in this hour, that we can go out into the hedges and byways seeking someone that is in need, someone that needs to know you by the name of unconditional love, and that you will give us the boldness and the spirit and give us the wisdom and the understanding of your word that we may release this love into their lives. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. I hope you enjoyed that testimony just as much as I did. I'll probably read it later on again because it brings tears to my eyes. How beautiful and wonderful the unconditional love of God is. Now, what we want to do now is we want to leave you with some points that you can use in your private study time that will help build you up in the agape love, that you may receive the agape love of God in your heart and your mind and your soul. And when God releases that love, he always releases an overflow and an abundance. And he does that for a reason, to give you enough to receive for yourself, but an overflow that you can take into the hearts and minds of somebody else. So, as we go through the points, this is material that you can take to your Bible study. And while we disciple, then you can go home and disciple, and it'll build you up to be a disciple of our Lord and our God. And he'll begin to send you out to your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and he has places for you in the othermost parts of the earth that you may take his kingdom love out of your heart and with his words place it into a heart of another individual. So we're going to start out by reading 1 John chapter 5, verse 3.
1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Praise God. So the point we want to release into your hearts and minds and soul is God's love is revealed through his commandments. And his commandments is his word. God's love is revealed from Genesis to Revelation. And what that's saying is, in order for us to receive and have the manifestation of the unconditional love of God in our hearts, we got to read his word. So God's love is revealed through his commandments. Next point, Romans chapter number 13, verses 9 and 10.
Romans 13, verses 9 and 10. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Praise the Lord. And the point we leave in your heart, how does the commandment show love? And that's by love works no wrong to its neighbor. Love works no wrong to its neighbor. And I had to ask, who is my neighbor? Wherever you are, at any given moment of the day, wherever we may be, any given, just look around. And whoever is closest to you is your neighbor. Whether you know their name or not, whether you've seen them before. And that beautiful testimony, that man of God didn't know those people's names. They weren't even the same nationality. But he was in their presence, and they became his neighbor. When you're at the grocery store, you have a neighbor. When you're at the mall, you have a neighbor. In your neighborhood, you got a neighbor. On your job, you have a neighbor. The one that's closer to you at that given moment. And in that passage of scripture, each commandment shows love by showing how we should respond to our neighbor. Praise your God. The next verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21.
Romans 12, starting in verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Praise the Lord. The point we look at, how can we love our enemies? I mean, that's a strange question. How can we love our enemies, even when we don't feel like it? Thank God love is not a feeling, but love is obedience to the commandment that God has given us. God has commanded us to love. It's not a feeling, whether we feel like it or not. But if our enemy is hungry, we can feed them. If our enemy is thirsty, we can give them something to drink. And we can seek the welfare and benefit even of our enemies, regardless of how we feel. Because we're talking about the agape, the love of God. And the love of God is not a feeling. The love of God is a commandment to God's people. Next, the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 4.
Titus 2, verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children.
Amen. And what this passage is saying and showing that they admonish, and admonish can be used that they teach to love their husband, to love their children. So love can be taught. And the majority of Christians are waiting on a feeling to make a move. But no, we teach how to love unconditionally, especially in our marriages, especially in the lives of our children, but not limited to that. Our friends, our associates, and yes, even our enemies. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that should sound familiar by now. Somebody should have said, the love chapter. And verse 4 through 8.
1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
Praise God. And what Minister Smith read so eloquently, the principle of love. And we as a people of God must meditate on these principles day and night, that we can get the agape deep in our hearts and deep in our minds and deep in our souls, that we can be saturated with the unconditional love of God. And when somebody wrongs us, maybe a spouse, maybe one of our children, maybe one of our friends, maybe one of our church members, we will not have a problem of forgiving them and then releasing the unconditional love of God into their lives. And they know that they know that they know that we love them without a doubt. Thank you, God. And we want to look at 1 John, chapter number 3, verse 18.
1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Beautiful. I hope somebody else's heart heard the beauty in that scripture. Beautiful. And that takes me back to the testimony we started out with. That man of God, he did not love with just his lips. He did some action. And the action he done was some loving action. And the people he encountered knew that he was doing what he was doing because he truly loved them. And people of God, let us not just love in words. Let us not just love in tongues. But from this day forward, let us begin to love, hallelujah. Let us begin to love with our actions, hallelujah, amen. In the presence of our neighbor, starting with our closest neighbor. If we're married, our closest neighbor is our spouse. Let's love indeed. In our children, in the neighborhood, in the body of Christ, glory to God. And even in this hard time, the only ingredient that's missing in this hard time is the agape, the unconditional love of God. And let's not say, well, let them do it, or let him do it, or let the pastor do it, or let the apostle do it. But let's get a spirit on the inside of us and say, Lord, here am I. If you want to release your agape in the earth realm, I'm available. You can use me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 7. Verse 12.
Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Praise God. And we break that down, and we call it the golden rule. And doing to others what you want someone to do to you. So we as sons and daughters of the Most High God, if we want something done for us and it's not happening, we do not sit around and mope and grope and get angry and separate and get depressed and feel, don't nobody love me. No. We look for somebody else that needs what we need, and we go meet their need. Hallelujah. We're going to meet their needs, and then God, amen, will supply our needs, whether he do it through another individual or whether he do it through his word or whether he do it supernaturally by his spirit. He said, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if we want something done for us, get up and let's go do it for somebody else. That man of God in the testimony, he know that what makes God's kingdom go around, what makes it go around is the agape. And we can get to the point where we love God so much that we want to see his kingdom go around. And we know it's the love of God that makes God's kingdom go around. So since we want to see his kingdom go around, we just get up and begin to do loving deeds and loving actions for other people. Amen. No hidden motive, just that God be glorified. Thank you, God. Okay, and this is a nugget for us that we put in our loving hearts and we release it in the season that God wants us to release it. And the nugget is, in trying to discover love, now that's the key, discover love. You know, many people say, I'm just looking for the right person. No, glory to God. I haven't met Mr. Right yet. You heard that before. I haven't met Miss Right yet. In all reality, we're walking in the agape, the unconditional love of God. We shouldn't be looking for the right person. We should become the right person. And if we become the right person, God will send the right person, whether it's a friend, whether it's a relationship with mama, whether it's a relationship with daddy, whether it's a relationship with a family member, whether it's a relationship with somebody at work. If we become the right person, God will send the right person. 1 John. Chapter number 5, verse 3.
1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Amen. Amen. So we can't wait for a feeling to move. It's going to kick in. It's going to kick in. I got the neighbors next door, and when that feeling hits, I'm gonna go over, and I'm going to show them the love of God. But I'm just waiting for that feeling. I'm waiting for that moment. And they've been your neighbor for 3 years. Man, it's not a feeling. It's a commandment. God commands us to love. And the minute that neighbor moves in, we got to go over there and show them some love and welcome them into the community with our demonstration of love. And I tell you what, that gives us an open hand, too, because we can ask them, have you found the church yet? Amen. Glory to God. Well, I got an outstanding loving church wheel full of the love of God, from the pastor on down to the newest member of the church, and I would like to invite you over to our church and just let us love on you. Glory to God. Amen. And I feel the presence of God love. Which is so awesome when Father, Daddy, God began to manifest his love upon the hearts and the minds and the souls of his children. You know, even if the manifestation of the love isn't there, just because of the commandment of the word, we know that God, agape, is always with us. But when we get that manifestation, see, as the word get released into the atmosphere, and Minister Smith just released the word of God into the atmosphere, and they were loving words, the unconditional agape words. And once they get into the atmosphere, they came out of her heart. They came out of my heart. Amen. And the words themselves came out of the heart of the Holy Spirit. And when we open our hearts and we release those supernatural spiritual words, God love just takes over the atmosphere. And when God takes over the atmosphere, he wants to come in the person of Jesus Christ and by the power of his Holy Spirit into someone's heart and begin to reveal himself to them as love. And maybe there's somebody that haven't received the unconditional love of God. And the only love they've seen maybe was a love of mama and the love of daddy, of brothers or sisters. But there's a greater love. And that's what we're talking about in this series. There's a greater love that goes beyond the human mindset. There's a greater love that we couldn't even imagine how awesome it is. And once we encounter this love with our heart and our mind, it just put us in a state of awe. So we just can't even find any other words to use till we just open up and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We have a hallelujah moment. And maybe there's someone that haven't had that moment. Maybe there's someone that hasn't connected to love himself, who is God, in the form of a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, this is the time. This is the time. This great day that we're living in, this is the time for you to receive. And Minister Smith, a great minister of God who can take people to the cross. God had anointed her to take people to the cross. And so we're going to stop. And we're going to drop. And we're going to pray. And we're going to let the Spirit minister through Minister Smith and take everybody to the cross. I'm going to the cross with you. Minister Smith.
Thank you, Brother Harold. This is a time that you can have the blessed assurance to know that when you confess and believe by faith that when you raise your head or get up off your knees, that you will know with assurance that you are now a child of God. And this is what Scripture tells us according to Romans 5. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he died for you, my brother, my sister. He did this kind of love. So we are going to go to the foot of Jesus in prayer. And we, Brother Harold and I, encourage you to catch a hold of his hand. Surrender your heart to him right now. This day was set aside for you to take care of this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And for those of you, if you would partner with us today and lift up somebody that is in your circle of influence or that the Lord has laid upon your heart, to just shower them in prayer that one day they would come to know Jesus in the pardon of their sin. So let's go to the foot of Jesus. Now you repeat after me, but it's your heart takes you into the arms of Jesus Christ. Lord, here I am. I'm a sinner. Lord, and I need you. I believe that Jesus died for my sins on that cross. And he was raised from the dead that I may have a right to the tree of life. Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, I am. And you are my Savior. Here I am. Flood my heart, Lord, with your love, as I've heard today through the message. Flood my heart with your love. I know I haven't done things in the past and even today in the way that I know I should have. My mother taught me right from wrong, but somehow or another, I continue to do wrong. Lord, here I am. I surrender to you. My mind takes me on places, Lord, that I know I shouldn't even be thinking about. Lord, here I am. Heal me. Lord, touch the lips of my mouth, say words that are not right. I swear too much. I gossip too much. I talk about people that I know I shouldn't. And Lord, I just heard today that you said, treat people the way I want to be treated. Teach me, O Lord. Heal me, O Lord. Purge me, O Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord, standing in the need of your gracious love. Lord, I confess to anybody today, as I receive and believe by faith, I confess that I love you and I need you. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I pray in Jesus' name, who did it for me on the cross. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are excited, super excited, my brother and my sister, for you giving your hand to the Lord for you surrendering your heart to Him, for you taking the best step that you have taken in your life, and that is allowing Jesus to set up in your heart, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that He is now the Lord of your life. Amen and amen. Hallelujah to that. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, or the body of Jesus Christ. Now we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church that you could be discipled, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, that now you are a light in a dark world. And we just encourage you to look for a Bible teaching or a small group Bible study that you would be discipled, that you could grow and go in grace, so that you would be used by God to bring others into the ark of salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord, as the angels rejoice because you have given your life to Christ. Hallelujah and amen. Brother Harold?
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. Amen. Well, it looks like we may have to continue this teaching next week, because we still have a little more information that the Spirit of God want to release out. But let's try to do a couple more scriptures before we leave this evening. Let's try to do a couple of more scriptures. Let's read 1 John chapter 3, verse 18.
1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Yes, yes. And now, since you have heard the agape speak to your heart and speak to your mind and speak to your soul, we're just going to ask a little question. What if one spouse told the other spouse, I love you? That's a word, that's a tongue. Told the other spouse, I love you. Then they did an action. They went out and committed adultery. Would that spouse believe their word or their tongue? Or would that spouse actually believe the action? And I think the spouse that was told, I love you, I think that spouse would believe the action instead of the words, because action speaks louder than words. And that's even with our children. We can speak real loud, very loud, with a megaphone, a microphone, and they will only hear like 10% of what we say. But whatever we do in front of them, they remember 100% of that, and they will begin to walk that out, what we model in front of them by our actions. So I just throw this little nugget in there. Let's begin to model the unconditional love out in the presence of our children, after we model that out in the presence of our spouse. Then let's go and model the agape out in the presence of our children. And once they see that action, they'll begin to imitate. Children are great at imitating. Spouses are too. Glory to God. Let's try one more. Romans, chapter number 5:6-8.
Romans 5, starting at verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Hallelujah. And I have a question that I would like for everyone to ponder. And the question is, do you think Jesus felt like dying? Do you think his death was a feeling, a feel like dying? Or was his death out of obedience to the Father? I don't think he felt like dying, and that shows even before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if it be thy will, take this cup of suffering away from me. And he prayed that 3 times. And he ended with a nevertheless. That's the obedience part right here. Nevertheless. Not my will. So it wasn't his will to do it that way. It wasn't his will. But thy will be done. So right then he surrendered to the command. He surrendered to the will of God above his feelings. That's the agape. He thought about you and he thought about me. And it was beneficial for you and me. It was good for the welfare of you and me, for all of us. So regardless of his feelings, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he surrendered, went past his feelings, surrendered to the commandment of God that me and you and everybody else, whosoever will be blessed and positioned to enter into the agape, the unconditional love of God, the kingdom love of God, God kind of love, enter into it with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls, through and through, with an overflow from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. We can walk in that supernatural love that goes beyond the human imagination, and we can go and tell somebody, I got some good news for you. God loves you, and he wants to have a loving relationship with you for eternity. And all you have to do is say yes. Well, we're going to finish next week. And the Spirit has a little bit more information he want to release. So I'm going to turn you back over to Minister Tanita Smith. Remember, we love you, but God loves you even more. And there's just nothing we can do to stop him. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful work in laboring in the Lord with Minister Harold Copeland. And I tell you, it's just an enjoyment to hear the word of God go out into the out into the hearts of men and women, fertile ground that root seeds would take root in their heart and that the watering would take forth. And I tell you, life brand new will show forth as well. So praise God. This brings us to the end of this broadcast. And we will meet again and pick up where Mr. Harold left off in this wonderful teaching series, The Ingredients of Agape Love. And always remember, my brothers and my sisters, that the grass wither and the flowers fade season by season, but the word of God will never fade away. It will remain forever and ever. Hold it close to your heart. Carry it along with you as we continue to pray one for another. We love you and God bless you.